What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for us to take today's look, our Thursday's look, at some of the local news stories. The Vamos coalition measured its strength against that of large political parties, while the presidential candidates Romulo Rue from Cambio Democratico and José Gabriel Carrizo of the ruling Democratic Revolutionary Party were closing their campaign, one from Avenida Mexico in the capital city and the other in Santiago de Veraguas. Well, the independent deputies Juan Diego Vázquez and Gabriel Silva, together with the candidate for mayor of San Miguelito, Irma Hernández, gathered hundreds of their supporters at the Minuto 90 court in Brisas del Golf. With speeches against corruption, gambling and excessive spending, the three addressed their supporters to ask for the independent vote, which would allow them to have high representation in the National Assembly, community boards and mayor's offices. The first to address the public was Irma Hernández. She assured that the coalition must follow the example of Juan Diego Vázquez and Gabriel Silva to change the country. We are closing a wound of people who are tired of being lied to, said Hernández. The rage and anger that the country is being stolen from us has to be translated into a vote, said Hernández, while ensuring that her team did not have to pay millions of dollars in closures for people to support them. Silva thanked the attendees and everyone who voted in 2019 for Vázquez and him to reach the National Assembly. He presented Vázquez as the leader of the coalition. When introducing his partner, he joked that sometimes I wanted to kill him, while thanking him for being an inspiration. Vázquez assured that on the 5th of May, the end of politics with corruption, clientelism and lies will come. Hand in hand with each of you and with the support of the deputies, representatives and independent mayors, we're going to begin that transformation, he assured. The dictatorship of the corrupt in the assembly is over, said Vázquez. The plenary session of the Supreme Court of Justice resumed its permanent session this Wednesday, the 1st of May, to analyse the claim of unconstitutionality against the 11-1 agreement of the 4th of March of 2024. That disqualified Ricardo Martinelli from competing in the 5th of May elections as presidential candidate of Rolando Metas, the RM party, and Alianza, as simultaneously appointed José Raúl Molino as his replacement. The extraordinary session of the full court began on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. and lasted all night, but around 11 p.m. the magistrates declared a recess until yesterday, Wednesday, and yesterday they also went into full session. The presiding judge, Olmedo Arrocha, presented his draft ruling to the remaining eight judges who make up the plenary session on Tuesday. However, at the time of writing this note, its contents were unknown. The plenary session of the court began to meet after former magistrates, jurists and other civil society actors raised their voices to demand that the issue be resolved before the elections on the 5th of May. And while the magistrates analysed the lawsuit filed on the 11th of March by lawyer Carisma Caramanites, uncertainty grows on the streets. All eyes are on the Gil Ponce Palace and what it can decide. Will there be seven or eight presidential candidates is one of the recurring questions. The Supreme Court of Justice is not to blame for this situation. They were decisions taken by the Tribunal Electoral and taken by the Realizing Goals Party and Mr. Ricardo Martinelli, who have judicialized the electoral process. In 2022, the plenary session of the Electoral Court decided that Mr. Martinelli was subject to electoral criminal jurisdiction, invoking the principles of speciality, which delayed the new business case for almost a year. That is, we would have had all these decisions in the new business case last year, in the first half of last year, said lawyer and analyst Rodrigo Noriega. Martinelli was sentenced to 128 months in prison and to pay a fine of $19.2 million for money laundering in the new business case, pursuant to Article 280 of the Constitution. The Tribunal Electoral disqualified him through Agreement 11-1 of March the 4th and designated Molino as the presidential candidate, who was the candidate for vice president. Well, the Tribunal Electoral magistrates assure that they appointed Molino without consulting RM Nalianza. They argued that the plenary session was prevented from carrying out any negotiations with the parties that nominated him, since the Electoral Code, in its Article 362, provides that in the absence of a principal, the substitute must take his place. This is what judges Eduardo Valdez Escoffery and Luis Guerra think. The presiding magistrate, Alfredo Juncker, has a different criterion. He argues that the figure of the substitute is not applicable to that of the Vice President of the Republic, since the latter performs simultaneous and parallel functions with the President of the Republic, and therefore, in this case, he is not comparable to the figure of a substitute who only acts in the absence of the principal. Molino, meanwhile, is trusting for the OAS through its mission. I am a firm candidate for Sunday's elections, and that is how they consider me. And for that reason, I was here with them in dialogue, he said on Wednesday, after leaving a meeting with electoral observers from the Organization of American States, the OAS. The OAS observers have met with all the presidential candidates. I'm going to run on Sunday because I'm a firm candidate with my rights fully in force, as ratified by the Electoral Court. Leaving here, I'm going to a meeting with the three magistrates of the Tribunal Electoral at the ANCON headquarters, he said. He said that he would not comment on what the court does or does not do. They asked him what he's going to talk to with the magistrates about. He immediately wrinkled his face and gave a bitter response, "I don't have to tell you." On April the 18th, the media in Panama and Costa Rica received the news that José Raúl Molino, the candidate for Realizing Goals, the RM, and the Alianza Party had gone and returned that day to San José, Costa Rica, where he was received by the president of that country, Rodrigo Chávez. On the afternoon of that day, Molino had a walk scheduled in Chitré, the eve of inauguration of the Azuero Fair. The presidential candidate, while in Azuero, surrounded by his followers, gave brief statements about his meeting, as Chávez disclosed through the social networks. He said that they had talked about the closure of Panama's border with Colombia to prevent migration, and about the importance of, that the Costa Rican president gives to the fight against drug trafficking, against organized crime. Molino was received by Chávez with almost the same honors as a head of state, something that surprised both there and here, as well as what seemed to have been an untimely trip. But to tell the truth, the short trip apparently had nothing unexpected, judging by his companions, a strange entourage of which Molino has not said a single word about. To begin with, he did not travel on a commercial flight. He did it on a private jet, which is said to belong to the cousin of one of Molino's companions on this strange journey. Three other passengers were on the plane with Molino. They boarded the aircraft with Panamanian registration HP715 in Albrook and left for San Jose at 10:42 a.m. This jet is continuously monitored by members of the Venezuelan opposition. It tracks the publishing and places on social media on X. In addition, those who monitor this plane link its flights with politicians from the Nicolas Maduro regime. Likewise, they monitor its multiple flights to Havana, Cuba, cities in Venezuela, and Panama City, where it has a hangar in Albrook, and which, according to informed police sources, is under local surveillance and American, since it is used to transport important politicians. La Prensa sent a 5-question questionnaire to Molino about the purpose of his trip to Costa Rica and the presence of the additional passengers, Soto Movilla, Moreno Velasquez and Fababella Napolitano. But so far, there's been no response. Observers from the Organization of American States, the OAS, who will monitor the development of the general elections on Sunday in Panama, met on Tuesday with the President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo. The international delegation was headed by the head of the OAS Electoral Observation Mission, Susana Marcorra, who, together with the delegation, spoke with the Panamanian president. The presidency of Panama reported that the president reaffirmed the country's commitment to strengthening democracy with the development of free elections. The Minister for Foreign Affairs, Janiana Tuweni Menkomo, accompanied the Panamanian President at the meeting. Mal Acorra, former Chancellor and former Chief of Staff of the United Nations Secretary General, was appointed as head of the OAS Electoral Observation Mission by the Secretary General of that organisation, Luis Armargo. The OAS Observer Mission is made up of about 67 people, and observers have been in Panama for days and have been monitoring preparations for Sunday's elections. The Ministry of Security confirmed on Wednesday that in the first 4 months of 2024, 139,267 irregular migrants have crossed the Darien jungle from Colombia. According to the records of the National Immigration Service, between January and April of 2023, 127,687 irregular migrants entered the land through the border with Colombia. That is, this year, 11,580 more migrants have already entered compared to the first 4 months of the previous year. The majority of irregular travellers who have entered Panama through the Darien Gap this year are Venezuelans. There are 88,660 people. Ecuadorians follow with 10,640, another 8,997 Haitians, and 8,813 Colombians. According to Panamanian authorities, 20% of all these migrants are minors. The high number of irregular migrants crossing the jungle has put Panamanian authorities on alert, which in recent months has detected members of criminal groups from South America who are trying to move to the north of the continent. Last year, 520,085 irregular migrants entered through the border, a record number according to historical data. The main objective of most migrants is to reach the United States and Canada. The National Border Service, Centrefront, seized 4.7 million units of cigarettes that were transported inside a cargo truck intercepted in the Bocas sector, province of Chiriquí. The shipment of at least 472 boxes of supposedly contraband cigarettes was seized on Monday by the Centrefront anti-narcotics units after verifying that the cargo truck was driven by a Panamanian with a history linked to smuggling. In each individual pack, there are 20 units of cigarettes, and assuming that the contraband product is sold at prices between $4 and $5, the seized merchandise could be valued at least $1 million. Actions like these put the economy and health of all Panamanians at risk, Centrefront indicated on its social networks. According to Crime Stoppers, 92% of cigarettes sold in Panama come from the illicit trade. Based on its statistics, the country stops receiving about $165 million in direct taxes for undeclared sales, and 15 containers full of cigarettes arrive at local ports every month. In the case of land smuggling, the entry and exit route would be the Panamanian border with Costa Rica. Baco is a town in the district of Baru, very close to the border crossing. Crime Stoppers has warned that every 10 people who smoke in the country, 9 are consuming a product that is illegal. In addition of the shipment of 4.7 million units of cigarettes seized, another 40,460 units of cigarettes were seized also in Baco after seizing a van-type vehicle driven by a citizen who was transporting 4 boxes inside the car. The Panamanian Maraya Lopez continues with a great moment in Panamanian cycling by placing first in the road and time trial of the under-23 category on the National Cycling Championship, which was held in Gamboa. Lopez won first one in the time trial by covering a distance of 16.8 kilometres in half an hour, while in the road test she managed to enter second in the elite category and first in the under-23 category. I'm very happy with the level there was. We have improved race after race, and that day the difference between all the runners was very clear, Lopez said in an interview with La Prensa. The truth is that I feel that each of us is making a lot of effort, and it was very noticeable, she added. So, congratulations. And that's it. There we go. There's our look. Some of the local news stories for you here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for this morning's programme.